Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby. Friday afternoon, free for all Friday. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. We've been talking about that giant gator in Bayou St. John and the coyote in Lakeview. And somebody texted me and said that the coyotes go to Lakeview because they come from City Park, and City Park is not far from Lakeview. And I just, you know, I mean, look, I know something needs to be done. I know you can't have coyotes just running around your neighborhood, but I kind of feel sorry for the animal because this one that they trapped, they're shining a light on it, and it looks just frail and kind of just scared to death. Because coyotes, you know, they've got, I mean, they're kind of tall. I mean, they're not like tall, like, you know, like a big animal, but they've got long, skinny legs. And, you know, the body's on top of these long, skinny legs. So it doesn't take much for them to kind of have a frail look and just looks really frail and scared. But it's amazing how many people are calling in about how alligators are everywhere and they're seeing more and more alligators. And at the Kenner boat launch and along the North Shore and Bayou Liberty and really amazing. I mean, I'm not in an area where I see gators. Live at West End, and I, you know, I'm close to the water, and sometimes I see the lake, but sometimes I could see the lake from my apartment, but you know, I can't see the shoreline, so that's where the alligators would be. But I'm surprised that there's so many alligators in and adjacent to Lake Pontchartrain. And you know, we're going into fall, but this is something that we really have to talk about next year when we head into spring and summer, when people are going to start recreating on the lake. But, you know, it's a time to be really, really cautious. And until we get some cold weather that sends the alligators into hibernation, I guess you just have to be really careful and just be aware of the idea that maybe alligators are there. And look, make sure that your kids and your pets don't get too close to the shoreline of Bayou St. John, because I'll tell you, this alligator that's in there is huge. It's a big gator. It's not the biggest I've seen, but it's a big gator. It's not just like, you know, some like teenage gator, you know, having fun in Bayou St. John. No, this is a big gator. And we talked to Don Dubuque earlier, and he said that maybe it came from the City Park lagoons, or maybe it actually swam up from Lake Pontchartrain, from another area into Lake Pontchartrain, and then swam up and got into to Bayou St. John. But I don't know how it got there, but it is definitely there. So look, if you're on hold, just be patient with us, and we'll get to your calls. Also, it's a free for all Friday, so we can pretty much talk about what you want to talk about. And if at all possible, let's not talk too much about politics, because you know it's hot, but it's a nice Friday, and here we are heading into the weekend. All right, Arthur Hardy. The guy behind the Mardi Gras Guide, which is the Bible of Mardi Gras parades, is retiring. Arthur joins us on WWL. Arthur, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing, my buddy?
I'm great. Look, this had to be a hard decision for you because I know how much you love what you do.
Yeah, but you know, like they say, you got to know when to leave the party. It'd be our 50th anniversary magazine, and I'll be 80 years old next summer. So I think it's time. It's been a great ride, but... yeah, I'm looking forward to this final issue and then enjoying the grandkids and traveling after that.
Well, that's nice. So, you know, this is a thing that comes out once a year, but this consumes your entire year, right?
It does. It does, just like the float builders. You know, we start almost on Ash Wednesday on next year's. And, yeah, like you said, it's been a whole lot of fun. I've been blessed beyond anything I could have deserved. And but I think the time is right. But putting a lot of effort into this final, biggest and hopefully best edition we've ever done should be out by Christmas.
Arthur, what was the deciding factor that inspired you to do it in the first place?
Money.
That's a good reason.
Yeah.
That would inspire me.
Yeah. You know, I can't say I was trying to save the world or anything. My wife and I were both school teachers and looking for an extra source of income. And as simple as this idea was, nobody had done it. It kind of set the model for other, you know, news outlets and media to copy what we did. But it was, you know, a simple idea, not simple to execute.
But Arthur, you had some struggles along the way. You had challenges.
Oh, we had incredible challenges, including such things as the police strike, which just about put us out of business. We had 10,000 magazines out, and I don't know, maybe sold six of them.
Wow. Yeah, things could happen. I mean, it's rare, but sometimes things can happen. As a kid growing up, did you sense that you had this just special love and appreciation for Mardi Gras? I mean, this could not have been just about the money.
No, it wasn't. I always loved it. And, you know, being a teacher, that's kind of what we brought to the publication. How can you educate and entertain? You know, everything you want to know about a parade on one page, the map, a little bit of the history, what's going to happen this year. And a new element that had never been published in newspapers anywhere was, what are they going to throw?
Yeah.
I was always interested in that. And for some reason, nobody had ever thought to put that in the paper.
And that
was a real selling point.
And Arthur, over the years, what the parades threw got more specific to the parades and got more varied. I mean, in the beginning, it was, you know, they pretty much threw the same stuff. But as time went on, the parade started throwing different things.
It's incredible, the growth in that industry. And, you know, we've become kind of spoiled and jaded. You know, you see beads and the balloons on the ground. I want something that talks and sings and will make my breakfast for me, you know.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, there's so many beads and things on the ground, but they still want to catch. If they catch it, they'll keep it, but they won't reach down and take it off the ground. So it's not like they know that there's value in it, but if they catch it, then it's worth keeping.
Well, you're right, but you remember the old days. You'd stomp on it a little.
Oh, yeah. You'd push kids aside.
Oh, absolutely.
It's horrible.
You know, you could always tell visitors at Mardi Gras, you know, the first three floats, they're looking, oh, look, Irma, isn't that pretty? Fourth float, they're beating the hell out of old ladies with, you know, umbrellas trying to get stuff off the ground.
That's
a joy to watch.
Boy, and remember the old glass beads?
Oh, yes, made in Czechoslovakia, most of them, and soon to be replaced by plastic. And now, you know, plastic is out, on the way out. We have much more homegrown, environmentally friendly, useful throws. And that's been a movement I didn't think was going to take off, but I'm happy to say that it has.
Yeah, so many of them are recycled.
Yep.
Yeah. What are you going to miss most about not doing the Mardi Gras Guide?
Well, dealing with all the crew captains, you know, each year we've got to have dialogue with more than 50 crew captains. And these people are all unique, all special. Nobody has to do this. Very few draw any kind of income. And it's just a joy to work with these people and see how much they put into it. You know, the saddest thing is when a parade gets canceled and all that work is gone. It's such an ephemeral experience. You know, here's the parade, there it goes, it's over, that's it, see you next year, pal. So it's the people, it's always the people.
But the publication's going to continue?
Oh, absolutely. George's Media bought the magazine from us 3 years ago and allowed me to stay on to run it through this year. And my name will stay on it. That was part of the deal, and they graciously agreed to that. And believe me, the magazine will be fine. It'll get bigger and better, and I'll be on the sidelines. I'll be able to see more parades now than I did ever, because I won't be tied down to a TV station where I've got to do a stand-up at one parade, you know? So, hell, I'll be out there.
Well, and that's the other thing, Arthur. Anytime there was any kind of controversy involving a parade, it's like, well, let's talk to Arthur. So you were kind of constantly on call for all the TV stations.
And that was fun. That really was. Right, and sometimes you don't. Things, you know, how rumors are. Remember that Mayor Victor Scirro famous line, don't believe any rumors unless they come from me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Arthur, we're gonna miss your spirit around Mardi Gras, but you know you deserve this this time of retirement and doing what you want to do. And thanks for the years of bringing us the Mardi Gras and bringing us all the information.
Well, thank you, Scoot. And I'll still be doing my reports this year on WWL.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that. And it's been a great ride, man. And I appreciate your friendship and support the years, man. It's been great.
All right, Arthur. It's great talking to you again, and good luck. And we'll see you during Mardi Gras.
Cool. Thank you, man.
Okay. Arthur Hardy from the Mardi Gras Guide. He's retiring. And, you know, look, you get to a point where, you know, even if you love something and even though it's financially advantageous, I guess it's time to just let it go.
I can't believe he said he's going to be 80 now.
I know. He looks good for 80.
He looks great. He sounds great.
Yeah, he does. Young spirit. You know, that's the key to have a young spirit. It keeps you from looking old and acting old. Let's get to a couple of calls before we go to break. It's Free for All Friday, but we've been talking about this big gator in Bayou St. John. We've got some other things to get to. I also was talking earlier about the federal indictment against LaToya Cantrell, the indictments. They have been picked up by the national media. So this is all over the country. But I don't think this is going to hurt tourism in New Orleans. Because, as I said earlier, think about the city you'd like to go to right now. Think about a city you'd like to go to have fun. Do you care if the mayor's under federal indictments? No, you don't care. It doesn't affect you as a tourist. So I don't think it's going to affect tourism. I'll be surprised if it does. It's not good news. It's a stain on the city. And it feeds the image that politics are corrupt here. And there's a lot of corruption here. There's a lot of still the old boy network, but now it involves women as well. It's just the old people network, and this is the way things are done, and there's a lot of stuff done in back rooms and a lot of stuff done under the table. That has gone on for years. I wish that would come to an end, and whoever becomes our new mayor, I hope they don't get involved in that, because it's just a stain on our city. And we can change our image. It's not that difficult to change an image if you just change the content. And it can be done. And the city has an opportunity to do that with a new mayor. And I hope that does happen. And I hope we don't have any scandals. I hope the new mayor does things the way things are supposed to be done. Not the way they're supposed to be done in New Orleans. I hope that doesn't happen. Because I think people just think, well, this is the way it's done. This is the way we do it. But the kickbacks and the bribes and just the money that exchanges hands, it's so obviously illegal. That's the thing that I don't understand, that these politicians think they can get away with it. And Jeff Landry, our governor, when he talks about, well, I didn't know it was wrong. I thought I was saving the state money. When he took advantage of a private jet from somebody who benefited from him being in office, that's a bribe. And he gets fined $900? I mean, that's barely a slap on the wrist for somebody like Jeff Landry. That's not punishment. I mean, he should be punished. And the idea that he didn't know anything about that or didn't know it was wrong, that is BS. The man's a lawyer. The man knows it was wrong. But see, they think they can get away with it. Or even worse, and this is the case with Mayor Cantrell, she thought she was entitled to everything. And also, as I mentioned earlier, when she had to go ask permission if she can go on a family vacation to Iceland, for this woman who has been so arrogant over time, that had to be really hard for her to ask for permission, because her mentality has been, you know what? I'm the mayor. I can do what I want. And that's the attitude that got her in the position that she's in right now. All right. So look, hang on. Let's get to a break, and we're going to come back with your calls right after the break. But, you know, one of the things that we can always celebrate here is Mardi Gras. It's a great time of year. I've been in touch with Joey Lacoste and his wife, Gwen, the crew of Mad Hatters, the magical crew of Mad Hatters. You know, they're already ramping up. I mean, they're getting ready for another huge parade coming up just before Mardi Gras. And right after the first of the year, we start talking about it, because Mardi Gras season starts January the 6th, King's Day. But it really is a wonderful time, and we come together and celebrate, and we don't care about politics. We just care about having fun, and that's just a wonderful aspect of our city. I'm Scoot on the air. It's Free for All Friday, and we're coming back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On WWL. On the Scoot on the Air calendar on this day in 2008, 10 years after getting arrested for, you know, that behavior where he was trying to pick up guys at a Los Angeles public bathroom, 10 years after that arrest, George Michael is arrested on a drug charge in a restroom in London. He said, I want to apologize to my fans for screwing up again and to promise them that I'll sort myself out. He said, and I'm sorry to everyone else for just boring them. I mean, really, it's amazing how many people just don't learn lessons. Like, how many people have you heard in the news, you know, they've gotten their fifth DWI? I mean, you didn't learn after the first one? You know, I know a few people who got DWIs, but they didn't get a second one. They learned from their first mistake. And you know, things happen to people. And you know, you make a mistake, you make a mistake, but, man, you correct the mistake. But, you know, 10 years later to get caught in another bathroom, this time doing drugs. And again, maybe that's not all he was doing. It's just really sad. All right. I'm Scoot. It's Free for All Friday. Let's get to some of your calls. The Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. From Harvey, James, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the show.
Scoot, I was enjoying you, and I was feeling bad because I said I want to talk about politics. And you were having so much fun talking about the alligator, but then you started talking politics. So I don't feel so bad.
No, I don't feel badly about it.
All right. I want to say something, and I hope if I get too long, cut me off, but I want to say something I don't think I've been hearing enough about this Charlie Kirk situation. From far back as JFK, I was a child like you, but afterwards we started learning about it. And since JFK and all the others I can remember, this nation, as a nation, our country, reacted a lot more different than we're reacting now to this man's death. Even when one or two individuals, like when they asked Malcolm X about how did he feel about JFK's assassination, and he made a statement about it's like the chickens coming home to roost. And even his boss told him, shut up for 90 days. And after 90 days, he said something that's even profound that stands today. He said, what I meant was this country has a climate of hatred and violence, and we keep doing it, it's going to come back to us. We shouldn't be surprised at the violence that we grow when it comes back to us. And I look at all the other people that died, Meg Evers, even John Lennon. That's something you probably would like to hear about. Mr. Lennon, he wasn't a fan of the government. But when he died, even Mr. Nixon pretended to say he was sad. But in my mind, I don't think he was. But that's just me. Malcolm X, Rob, all the other ones. And finally, I want to get to the two little kids. Last week, it hurt me to even, because I had to struggle to not say anything bad about Mr. Kirk, because I do feel negatively about it. But we're forgetting to keep our eye on the ball. We're starting to let this stuff become too damn normal. And I'm going to say these two kids' names again, Fletcher and almost forgot to pull up and Harper. When we can let our children get killed at school, in church, saying a prayer, oh, let me calm down. That's a lot more important than some conservative activist. And we need, to me, that's where I think we need to be going.
Well, I know it's always easy to say that it's worse with the kids because they're young, and I understand that point of view. But, you know, it's bad when anybody dies, and I don't like saying that one death is worse than another. And I don't think anybody should let their disagreement with Charlie Kirk stand in the way of totally denouncing what happened and having total empathy for what happened, you know, without getting into it because we've talked about this before. But this is the hate that I want to try to calm down. This idea of this just ramped up, intense, polarizing political debate that we have. And it's all about keeping score. It's all about pointing fingers. And both sides are at fault here. And if you don't want to believe that, that's okay. That's on you. But that's not going to be this show. Both sides are at fault here. And what happened to Charlie Kirk was that somebody tried to silence his freedom of speech. And freedom of speech should not be silenced by the FCC. Freedom of speech should not be silenced by a bullet. And I wrote a blog about that this week. We, as Americans, need to learn to respect the speech that we disagree with. And that is a big challenge for a lot of people. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for really for all of us. But we have to see the bigger picture. And freedom of speech means that people can say things that you don't like, but they still have a right to say those things. And I think we talked enough about that this week. Let's go to Biloxi. Mac, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to WWL.
Okay, thank you, Scoop. I'm going to kind of like level the playing field a little bit. You know, over the years, politicians have created this monster, this demon, this satanic thing that's going on, you know, throughout history, you know, and this is what's going on right now. Threatening politicians, killing them. But beyond that, like the gentleman was saying just a minute ago, sometimes we have to look at the broader picture. Yesterday, 5 police officers were shot. 3 were killed, 2 critically wounded, serving the public. And these people have wives and children left behind. And you were saying something earlier that really kind of opened my eyes to that, because you were talking about the homeless situation and how when people see people homeless getting better, nobody says nothing. You know why they don't say nothing? Because they feel that they have to give something in order to be a help. They don't want to help. That's why they keep their mouth shut. You have no compassion no more. So we have to, you know, man, you were testing with that, though, Scoop. And we have to make sure that we have compassion for Charlie Kirk's wife and kids.
Yeah.
Anybody who's losing back a family is very important. So I just thank you for your word today.
Well, Mac, I appreciate the call, and I'm glad you're listening. We have a lot of listeners along the Gulf Coast, and I appreciate you being with us. Let's go to Metairie. Daniel, you're on WWL. Welcome to the show. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, so earlier you guys were talking about the alligators and such attacking kids and everything.
Yeah.
So, you have a pet?
No, not right now. I've had many pets in my life, but okay. No, I don't have a pet right now.
For those people out there who have a pet, they are chipped. They choose to have them chipped because in case they get lost.
Okay.
I guarantee you, if this kid would have had some kind of identification or some kind of mechanism to track the kid with special needs, they would have not spent thousands of dollars to go find this kid. They would have been right where he was. They would have...
But the idea, I mean, don't you think the idea of putting a chip in your child, it's going to be just revolting for a lot of people to accept?
Sorry, I disagree. Because if you have a kid who, and look at the bomb's history. If you got a history of abuse with a kid, I think that person should be made to track their kid.
I'm not saying it's not a good idea. I'm just saying that I think a lot of people would reject the idea, but I think it's an interesting idea that, you know, if you're concerned about your kids being somewhere and you're not aware of where they are, that would let you know where they are.
Exactly. Just like, you know, adults and kids on trackers or monitors, stuff like that, who are court ordered to wear that stuff because they want to know where you are because you are a criminal.
No,
these kids are criminals. But they're at risk.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Daniel, I think it's an interesting idea. But again, a lot of people are going to reject that. But really, if your child had a chip in your child, I mean, maybe you could take it out at a certain point. But they would have known where that young boy was who was lost, and either he had brain damage or was on the spectrum. Either way, he was not a totally normal child. Wandered away from his home and ended up being killed by an alligator. Just another example of how the alligators are everywhere. Let's go to Ian with a couple of your text messages.
Got some more gator texts. Here's one that says, we have gators on the beach now, on the Mississippi coast from Ocean Springs to Bay St. Louis.
See,
that's crazy.
There's something freaky about an alligator, and I see this once in a while. You see a crocodile that has adapted. I think some crocodiles can adapt to salt water.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And you see a crocodile like on the beach in Africa or somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And that is so freaky to think about alligators being in, like, you know, an open body of water like that.
I mean, I was thinking about what Don Dubuque told us. It's like, if it's too deep, they don't hang out there. They want to stay in these kind of, like, you know, transitional, you know, riparian habitats where there's a little bit of water, a little bit of land. It's not too deep. There's plenty of fish and other turtles and things for them to eat there. So why shouldn't they hang out on the beach? If they can hang out in salt water, I mean, let them hang out on the beach.
But the idea of thinking about an alligator on the Mississippi Gulf Coast beach, that's freaky.
That's bonkers.
Because that's something that in the past you would have never even thought about seeing. But I guess the population has grown so much. So then we heard that there's politics involved in getting the tags. I mean, maybe that's something we can investigate sometime. But Don Dubuque was just saying that there's no real incentive like there used to be to kill alligators. And so the population has continued to grow out of control.
I think maybe we should consider that the gators have been brought there on purpose to vote.
Conspiracy.
You know, and increase the population so that the congressional representation is higher, even if they don't count as
citizens. Well, there's criticism of this because the perception is alligators are Democrats, and it being Democrats, and they vote for the Democratic candidate. So
not
they've
the
been,
alligators
they've been brought
I
in. Yeah, I mean, based on their behavior, you think they'd be Republican or Democrat?
I know an alligator that is screaming at his radio right now and saying, you don't know me!
But really,
we started
talking about this because of that huge alligator in Bayou St. John. I mean, it's there, and some of you might see it this weekend.
Here's a text that says, there's a definite correlation between the increase of alligators and the decrease of the turtle population. It's the balance of nature.
Well, that makes sense. And I wouldn't be surprised if a few ducks are disappearing.
Dude, is it pretty easy for an alligator to eat a turtle? I mean, I know they do, but, like, they got a really crunch
well,
on there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there'd be some crunching.
Crunchy little shell.
But if you, a duck, you'd have to crunch down on those bones and swallow them. But I would think that shell would be...
The shell, I would think,
would be inhibiting.
Pretty hard.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, alligator's got to eat, but I would think, you know, given a menu of options, he would pick, like, the turtle last.
Maybe a,
like,
you know,
that's a lot of work.
Turtle on the half shell might be appetizing.
I got a long joke from the Quadnator, but, of course, they came all out of order. Oh, wait, no, these are kind of in order. Okay, well, I haven't read the whole thing. I got to make sure it's G-rated.
Well, you can always stop.
Okay, all right, well.
Go ahead, do
okay,
it.
Let's go for it. Okay, Quadnator writes, Boudreaux came home from a long, hard day's work, and as he was counting his children, he noticed one missing. And he asked Vivian what happened. She told him, Tommy was playing by the bayou and a gator got him, and Boudreaux shook his head, said, that's awful. We'll make love and have us another. Next day, he comes home and finds two children missing. He asked Vivian, what happened? She say, the little Aunt Nia, Charisse, was playing by the bayou, and the gator got them, too. Boudreaux shakes his head and says, that's awful. We'll make love and have some more children. Well, the next day, Boudreaux comes home and finds he's got three more children missing. Vivian tells him, Claudine and Francois and Rosemarie was playing down by the bayou, and the gator got them all, too. And Boudreaux throws his hat down in disgust and declares, we're moving. Vivian says, but we've been here all our lives. Boudreaux says, I don't care. I'm not working all day and screwing all night just to feed an alligator.
Thank you for the lighthearted moment. Hey, you did a good job with the accent.
Was the Cajun accent?
It was fine.
I don't roll that out in public very often.
You did a good show. It was good. All right, on this day in 1983, Uptown Girl was released by Billy Joel. Remember the video, Uptown Girl? Remember the video with Christie Brinkley?
Yes.
Dancing with Billy Joel? You know, this was an indication that some people just should not dance in public. Uh-huh. I mean, it was awkward. It was bad. But that's where he met Christie Brinkley. They dated and got married. And then, of course, got divorced. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on Free For All Friday on Dev.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WL. Hey, I said it Monday afternoon. Just, you know, hey, don't be too bummed. It's Monday. It's going to be the weekend before you know it. Here we are, Free For All Friday, heading into the weekend. It's going to be hot this weekend. I mean, really hot, but I think there's a front that's going to try to come through here next week. Can't wait to talk about that on Monday. All right, so there are some ladies at a senior citizens location in Monroe, Michigan. It's the Monroe Center for Healthy Aging, and it's basically a senior citizens home. They have decided to raise money for the center. So the ladies have posed for a risque calendar. The ages of the women are 59 to 82. And one of the daughters of one of the women took the photographs. There are 14 women featured, so maybe they double up on one of them because you only need 12 to get through the year. But there are 14 of the finest women there featured on this this calendar. It's a burlesque style calendar, and you know I think this is really great because you know just because you get older doesn't mean that you're not interested in that. It doesn't mean that that part of your life comes to an end. And as you know, there are things today that can help keep men active, even after a certain age where they ordinarily might have, you know, lost interest and not been able to really participate. And women like it too. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with this. I mean, you know, older women, they still like, you know, they still like to do that. And older men like to do it too. There's going to be a launch party and a signing for the calendar September 25th at the center. And look, I know a lot of people, oh, that's just disgusting. Well, you know, I mean, if you're that age, it's not, that's not disgusting. I mean, I know for a fact that at senior citizen homes, there are rooms designated for the residents if a man and a woman want to go into a certain room and, you know, there are rooms for that. There are places. So, in other words, it happens. I mean, even people in homes, it happens. So I think this is really cool. And I think it's just a reminder that, you know, you don't have to have the most perfect body to still be sensual. You don't have to have the most perfect body to, you know, suggest that you're, well, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I think it's kind of cool. A burlesque style calendar at a senior citizen home in Michigan. Let's go to James on the North Shore. James, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me back on, Scoot. Say, I just wanted to shout out, maybe let people marinate on this over the weekend. But I think one thing in the world that we're losing is feeling shame. I think this more and more of us just don't feel shame anymore. And I believe shame is what leads us to humility. You know, through humility, we have shame. And through humility, we're God-fearing. And it just seems like shame ain't there in the world no more. People are not shamed by the things, same things we used to be shamed by in the world. And when we lose shame, like I said, we lose our ability. And that interferes with us being able to relate to others and open up with others. And this is so much when you start losing your shame. So please, everyone, let's not let shame die. Let's still continue to
I agree with you. I think this is something that's missing from society today. Too many people don't feel shame, and there are too many people who stand up for those people who should be shamed, and they stand up for them and dare you to shame them.
And one more thing for the PBS or on September the 30th, they're going to have a documentary. The Hard Hat Riots. It's about a big riot back in the Vietnam War in New York City where you had people on the working class and people who were against the war coming together. And those documentaries are so good because you get such a bigger picture of everything going on. And there's a lot you can learn from them things, you know, where you can see both sides of the issue and kind of come together and see the whole picture and see things out from that. So I think that's a great thing for people to probably watch.
All right, James.
And, last night, The Daily Show was a great show. I hope people could go back and watch that. And all that leads in the same. Thank you, Scoot. Have a great weekend. Marinate on that.
All right, don't do anything shameful, James. We've got to try not to do anything shameful over the weekend. Hey, Sunday, the Saints are in Seattle. It's kind of tough to play there. Really noisy. It's an outdoor stadium, but it's noisy. But, you know, one of the things that sort of tempers the sound in the dome, as loud as it is, but the dome was also built for concerts, so there is an acoustic aspect of the dome that makes it seem not as brutally loud as even in some outdoor stadiums like Kansas City or like, you know, Seattle, where they call the fans, they do it in at Texas A&M as well, but they also do it in Seattle, the 12th man. I think the Saints have a really good chance to beat the Seahawks. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. The genius behind Chic was Nile Rodgers. Nile Rodgers also has worked with Duran Duran and many other artists. This guy is known for his guitar riffs, his producing. I would love to see Nile Rodgers' royalty check every month. It's got to be just massive. In fact, he actually toured with Duran Duran. And when Duran Duran was here last, Chic was the opening act and Nile Rodgers was there. I would love to go through this guy's closet, man. Nile Rodgers wears the coolest clothes. Anyway, he's 77 years old today, so happy birthday to Nile Rodgers, who has really given us some unbelievable music. A lot more still to come, including a zookeeper attacked and eaten alive by a lion in front of spectators. We'll be back. I'm Scoot on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.